All right. All right. Well, as we enter into the summer season and people are coming and going, it is good to see those of you that have been able to make it and are in town. This week, you will notice that one of our more easily recognizable members is not here this morning. And if you have not heard, Pastor Mike and his family have been hit with illness. We are aware that they are recovering, but we want to continue to pray for them, that they'll be kept safe and that there won't be any long-term illness related to what they're suffering through now. Also, informal announcement, but worth mentioning. It is Joe Gross's 90th birthday today. Yeah. Joe, I don't know if, can you hear me right now? Okay, good, yeah. So we are delighted that you are here and you bring us so much joy. So make sure that you flock Joe when we go into our meet and greet time and wish him a happy 90th birthday. Amazing. So that said, let me formally welcome you to this gathering of Vine Street Baptist Church in the life of the congregation. Formally, we have two activities going on next Sunday that you'll want to be aware of. Sunday morning, in lieu of our prayer time that we've been doing instead of Sunday school, we will be doing our June members meeting. So conducting some business. June 9th.
Today is not.
Holy moly. Listen, you guys. Anyways, it's really good to just get stuff on your calendar in advance. It's also really good. I'll say this informally. It's really good during the summer months to kind of lose track of things. Don't be the type of person that does that all the time. But also, you know, be checking your emails, folks, because maybe there's other activities going on in the life of the church, like next Saturday. And then two Sundays from now, we'll have our members meeting. And we'll have that evening as well. We will do a neighborhood walk. So you can plan ahead if you're that sort of person. If you just need to, you know, respond in real time, I'm sure there will be an announcement next week to get it back on your radar. Then in 2 weeks, members meeting and neighborhood walk. All right. Let's have just a moment to quietly ready our hearts in anticipation of our corporate worship. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is from the 67th Psalm. Please read the underlined portions aloud. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for all of your wondrous deeds, for the salvation that you make available to us and all peoples through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that our time together in worship will be reflective of the marvelous graces that you bestow upon us. Lord, be glorified in our time together this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to week 3 of Singing with the B Team. I can promise you it's not going to be perfect, but we can make it very authentic and we can worship from our hearts. So please stand and join me in singing Only a Holy God.
You may be seated. As we think about the words that we just sang together, it gives us great reason to pause and take time to consider those sins that we have sinned against our holy God. Please take some time now in silent prayer and reflection and ask the Lord to forgive you. Amen. Now please join me in saying aloud our corporate confession, once again reading, saying out loud those portions that are underlined. Almighty and most merciful Father, we are thankful that your mercy is higher than the heavens, wider than our wanderings, deeper than all our sin. Forgive our careless attitudes toward your purposes, our refusal to relieve the sufferings of others, our envy of those who have more than we have, our obsession with creating a life of constant pleasure, our indifference to the treasures of heaven, our neglect of your wise and gracious law. Help us to change our way of life so that we may desire what is good, love what you love, and do what you command. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now receive the scripture of pardon from Romans chapter 8. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, in that love that we receive through Christ Jesus our Lord, I encourage you to stand now and greet one another.
to life in you. We've become a talent show. Lead us back to life in you. We've been thrown, we heavy stones. Lead us back to life in you. In the shadow of your glorious cross, compelled by grace to cast my lot, I'll discard the loss and bear your name, forsaking all for your own fame. Your hymn of grace sung over me, bounding forth in glorious streams. My thirst is quenched by thee, my Lord, sustained and my redeemed restored. Sustained and my redeemed restored. Dark shadows at my feet, when I am plagued by unbelief, you place my hands into your side, by precious blood identified, by precious blood identified.
So let's begin a corporate time of prayer together by saying aloud the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Let's continue to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in the life of this church. We think of the many students in our church, our young people who have just successfully completed another year of studies. Lord, we're glad for those who are able to spend time going back to their homes where their parents and other family members are. Lord, we pray that they would be encouraged and revived during that time, and also know that they are loved by your church here in Vine Street. And Lord, we also pray for our younger students, whether they're in elementary or middle school, or even in a pre-K program. Lord, we pray that they would truly have a love for learning. Lord, we pray that they would love to learn about you. Lord, we pray that as your church, we would look for ways to direct them to your love for them, that they would respond in faith and seek to live obedient lives to glorify you. And again, Lord, I pray that as your church, we would recognize our corporate responsibility and see it as corporate joy to bring up our young people in the fear and admonition of you. Lord, we pray for the Kubinex. We thank you for both Mike and Mariko for the many ways that they bless this congregation. Lord, we pray that you would give them a quick and full recovery. And Lord, we pray that they would also know how deeply we love them. And Lord, we pray that you would be for them a source of encouragement, and that they would even see this time of sickness as an opportunity to reflect upon the graces and blessings that you have for them. Lord, we thank you for other churches in this community who recognize the great need to proclaim your gospel both near and far. And so we pray this morning for Clifton Baptist Church. We pray for their presence in the Clifton neighborhood, that they would be seen as a city upon a hill, that that neighbors would know that they are a loving people that desire very, very good things for them. Lord, we think about their pending vacation Bible school. We pray that it would be a great opportunity for their own children, and also children within the community to come and learn about you, to be shepherded by those who seek to share Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, with them. Lord, we thank you also for Johan and Mia, the Kim family, and all that they do seemingly all around the world. We pray that Mia will be in good health, Lord, we pray that they will see wherever they are opportunities to be about your work, whether it's in Korea or other parts of Asia or here in the United States. Lord, we pray that you would continue to glorify yourself through their many, many talents, and that they would find great joy as they continue to serve you. Lord, we think about this, the fact that in our country, this is Memorial Day weekend. We thank you for the sacrifices of those who served in uniform, even as we recognize at the same time the distinct mission of your church as opposed to the mission of the United States. Lord, may we as Christians never lose sight of the fact that your kingdom is not of this earth. And we do thank you for the ways in which you superintend this earth through earthly kingdoms. And so we thank you for State Senator Pamela Stevenson and the role that she plays. And we also are grateful for her service as a retired Air Force officer. Lord, we pray that you would bless her as she seeks through public office to be a blessing to others. Lord, we pray that you would give her wisdom to be engaged in lawmaking in such a way that our state upholds that which is good and seeks to do away with that which is evil. Lord, we pray that the Commonwealth of Kentucky would be a place where good people are encouraged and those who would do evil are discouraged from those things and are either held by the law to in restraint or see the realities of those things which are evil and turn instead to do good. We also think about, Lord, what is going on in the international realm. Lord, we think about the realities that more rockets are being fired even today by Hamas. And we think about the ways in which the military of Israel has responded since October. Lord, we pray for peace. Lord, we pray for people of all of the various ethnicities that are in that region. And we pray, Lord, that they would not have to live in fear of bombs, that they would not have to wonder if there will be access to food or water. But Lord, we pray that those who lead formally will seek to do that which is right for all. And Lord, we pray that those who seek only to bring strife will be met with justice or will seek instead to do that which is right instead of that which is unjust. We ask all these things because we do desire that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. But we also recognize that we are in many ways awaiting your return, Lord Jesus, in a world where many sad and heartbreaking things occur. Lord, help us to be people that bind up the brokenhearted. Help us to be people that see your great love and point to Jesus as the great hope that we can have in this world. We ask all these things knowing that you are good and able, able to do far more than we could even comprehend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you please stand with me in corporate confession of faith? We recite together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, we will dismiss our children to the nursery. Please remain standing as we sing together.
Let's try that again. One love would remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the
mercy is more.
Please remain standing for scripture reading.
This morning's scripture is going to be coming from Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. As I'm sure you guys are aware, we are taking a little bit of a hiatus from Acts. We'll be in Colossians. And last night when Mike called me and asked if I would be willing to preach this morning, I was instantly transported back to when I was in California. And we had a pastor growing up. His name was Andre. He was from Romania. He grew up in Romania, preached in Romania. And he used to tell us, hey guys, all of us had to have a pocket sermon just in case the pastor of our church couldn't show up. And, you know, the guards would come in, they'd take him out, or he got sick, or something would happen. And I instantly thought about that, and I went, oh, that'll never be me. That's never going to happen. And here we are. And so, but it's a joy to be here with you guys. I'm excited to take part in this. But let's go to the word in prayer. Gracious Lord, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be known by you. Father, there is no greater joy this side of eternity than to call you Lord. You are the good shepherd. You are our King. And we desire to honor and glorify you this morning. So Lord, as we turn to your word, may it dwell richly in our hearts. Father, may the meditations and our affections be pleasing before you. Lord, I ask that you would strengthen me, Lord. Father, help me to proclaim your word freely and fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you guys ever recognized the Christian phenomenon where somewhere you go, doesn't matter where, you kind of meet somebody and you have a sense that you guys are both believers? Maybe it's something that they say or don't say. Or maybe when they're talking about something in their life, they go, man, God's just been so good to me. He's been so blessed. Or scratch that. They just say, I'm so blessed, instead of I'm so lucky. And you know, but you don't know that they know Jesus Christ and that he is their Lord and Savior. Have we experienced that before? Maybe when you go on vacation, you meet a stranger, you go to a restaurant and you meet somebody there, you go to the mall and you're shopping. Well, that phenomenon, I experienced the exact opposite of that about 2 weeks ago. I was in Denver, and I was there to see one of my friends graduate. And so as we were shuffling into this giant auditorium, I sat down next to this couple. And for the sake of the story, we're going to call this couple Brian. He was in his late 60s. And his wife, Lynn, she was in her late 50s. And as I sat down, we exchanged pleasantries as one does, you know, hi, how are you? Which one's yours? And as he asked me that, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Which one's yours? I said to him, yeah, the middle-aged man, the 32-year-old, he was sitting in the middle. And he laughed and looked at me funny. And I quickly said, sorry, we serve together. This is him and I, we're together. I'm just here as support. And our conversation quickly turned into, as most conversations do, what do you do for your living? What's your job? What's your occupation? And at that moment, this gentleman, he started to tell me about this tech startup that he put together. He got in on the ground floor, and he was wildly successful. Wildly successful. He was able to retire early. Him and his wife, they had a good life from all accounts. Everything that they did was extra. Everything was big and exciting. And it became very, very clear within the 5 minutes of listening to this man's life story, that his entire identity was wrapped in his business savviness, his work ethic, his moral character, or lack thereof. But he was so focused on what he could produce, who he was, what he could obtain in this life. And that was it. that was the end of it. Now, after I listened to him, he looked at me and he said, what do you do? And I told him, I said, I'm in seminary and I work as a server at a restaurant. And as an aside, I had a professor in seminary, and he used to tell us all the time, listen, the gospel is going to get you into some wild situations, so you got to be ready. Now, what he failed to say was that just the mention of seminary will also get you into wild situations where you have to be ready. Because naturally, our conversation shifted. He started asking me about God, whether heaven is real. What does that look like? How does one live in that way? He was curious, but very much guarded, very much defensive. That was the posture for the next 2.5 hours as we sat there listening to somebody butcher names of different graduates. It was an awkward time, but nonetheless, that's what happened. Now, the rest of that story I'll save for another time, but the point is this. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only two people in this world, saved and unsaved, believers and non-believers, those purchased by the blood of Christ and those who are not. The person whose sins have been forgiven and the one living in direct rebellion against our Lord. And the free gift of grace means we didn't do it. It was Christ's work that saved us. So give thanks to God. Look with me at the beginning of verse 12. Give thanks to the Father. I think Paul opens up these verses, or how he opens up these verses, is very, very crucial. Giving thanks to the Father. And notice it's active. It's not a passive, very active. Not have given thanks, not we will give thanks, but rather give thanks, just declarative. Giving thanks to the Father. This is the posture of our heart. This is what we should be doing. It's a heart of thanksgiving. And the question is, how do we cultivate a heart of thanksgiving? And for starters, and most clearly, thanksgiving is preceded by a deep sense of humility. Humility leads to thanksgiving. As most of you guys are aware, my form of tent making, as Paul would write it, is I'm a server at Impalizzeri's Pizza. So every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, I'm out there slinging za, really working hard for that elusive 20% tip. Okay, that's how I make my living, and that's where we're at. God is good. He has been so good and so faithful to provide. But one of the benefits or drawbacks, depending on how you look at it, is I get to come in contact with a lot of different people every night. And most of the people that I serve typically are very pleasant, they're very kind, it's a joyful experience, but I can always tell immediately, I mean, with like a 90% accuracy, how the dining experience is going to go based off the first minute that I talk to these people. So bear with me as I demonstrate this, but I say the same thing to every single table, and sometimes I get self-conscious if I have two tables next to each other and they hear me say the same thing and I'm like, yes, I reuse the same lines, but it's fine, everything's fine. So there's two couples, two different tables, two different couples. The first couple, I approach. Hi, welcome, so good to see you. I look at all of them in the eyes. My name's Jake, I'll be taking care of you. Can I start you off with something to drink? And typically in that moment, somebody will look back up at me, because they're sitting, they'll look up at me, and they'll say, hi, Jake, thanks so much. They'll use my name. Yeah, I'll take a water. And honey, what would you like? You know, and typically there's an exchange there. I'll take Diet Coke. I'm so sorry, ma'am, we only have Pepsi. Okay, give me lemonade. And then that's the, you know, and it's fine. And then I bring out these drinks, and they look at me and they say, thanks so much. Thanks for doing that. And then the dining experience continues. It's warm. It's pleasant. They treat me like a person. I know that sounds weird, but it matters. It's so beautiful. Okay, now the other couple. Hi, welcome. My name is Jake. Can I get you guys something to drink? Yeah, man, listen, give me a water. What do you want? Do you have any Diet Coke? Oh, I'm so sorry, sir, we only have Pepsi. Oh, geez. Who made that decision? Not me. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. How can I help you? You know? And well, just bring me something else. Sir, what exactly would you like? Give me an unsweet tea with 5 ice cubes and 3 lemons. Yes, sir, right away, right? And you go. And if you leave your mouth open long enough, you can almost taste the arrogance in the air. It is painful to work through. Now, how do we avoid being the second couple? It's a deep sense of humility. It's a deep sense of thanksgiving. The perspective that has to change is how we view ourselves in light of who God is, what he has done, and who we are. The theological framing here is called the creature and the creator distinction. God is other than us. He is bigger than us. So when we look at ourselves in that light, we recognize the magnitude of who God is, how great he is. You start to feel that sense of humility. And then what does Paul say at the beginning of verse 12? Giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Now, naturally, the question comes up. Well, giving thanks for what? Okay, I recognize he's big. I recognize he's great. I'm small. Okay, but now what? What am I supposed to give thanks for? I'm glad you asked. As we continue, we're going to look at these 3 things that Paul marks out. One, we give thanks to the Father because he has qualified us. Second, we share in the inheritance. And third, because he has qualified us, because he has delivered us, and because he has redeemed us. Those are the 3 things that we ought to give thanks. There's plenty more, but those are the 3 that we're going to look at, what we should be giving thanks to the Lord for. So we're going to take each in turn. So if you would, look with me again at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his saints, or of the saints in light. Ladies and gentlemen, the significance of this cannot be overstated. God, as the acting agent in these verses, has taken it upon himself to qualify you for the inheritance that you do not deserve, that I do not deserve. By God sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life that we could never achieve, we become, by faith, co-inheritors with Christ. And every time I think of this, my heart just fills up with joy. And I was talking to a buddy of mine recently about the Bible and about our faith. And he grew up in the church, but he walked away and has come back a little bit. And it's just been this really beautiful thing that the Lord has been doing. And as a newish convert, the conversations that you might have with people or with ourselves, they typically lead to something along these lines. Okay, now what? Okay, now what? So Jesus saved my soul. Now what? Now what would we do next? What's the next step? And so in our conversation, he asked me, what do we have to do now? What does the Lord require of us? He's a former Navy guy, if you couldn't tell by the line of questioning. It's marching orders. What's next? What do you require of me? We've all asked the same question. If not once, then 100 times over the course of our walk with Christ. Father, what do you desire from me? What do I need to do? And that's a fair question. We all know, and we all want to know what the Lord requires of us. And I think the most important thing we can do is to have faith in Christ's completed work. He is the one who qualifies us, not our good deeds, not our standing in the community, not where you were born, not who you were married to. Christ qualifies us. And I think we often get the horse before the cart on this. The biblical perspective is clear. Faith first, in Christ's works that we are qualified by, then obedience. Faith, then obedience. This is what Christian freedom looks like. And in Christ, friends, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious, and we are qualified to be in the presence of God Almighty. Let that truth wash over you this morning. Recognize the beauty of that, and find your rest in Christ's completed work. The battle is won. The battle is won. And Jesus is, and always will be, our Savior, our King, and our God. Amen. So we have been qualified by Christ to share in his inheritance, which is a future reality that has present implications, but we are also delivered. Look with me at verse 13. Again, remember, we're giving thanks to the Father because, verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are delivered from the domain of darkness. That's good news. That's really good news. Christ, like a good shepherd, does not leave his sheep in peril. If you are one of his own, you are never too far. Never too far. Jesus leads us to green pastures and beside still waters. And this world, friends, is marred by sin. I don't have to convince you of that, but I'll try. We feel this. We feel the effect of sin all around us in the fall in our daily lives. Health concerns, broken relationships, unmet desires, war, famine, plague, and the list goes on. It doesn't take long for us to look around and see the effects of the fall. And it's easy for us to look around and be completely overwhelmed with despair over what we see. But, and a big but, through the eyes of faith, we can experience the kingdom of heaven all around us at this very moment, right here, right now, today, forevermore. Every time, friends, you respond to wrath with gentleness, you catch a glimpse of heaven. Every time you marvel at the spring flowers or painted sunset or a clear blue sky, you see the handiwork of a glorious creator. Every time you see a child laugh or see a dear friend who you haven't seen in a while or call a loved one and hear their voice, you see a reflection of God. Yes, it is true. We are living in the already not yet stages of the kingdom of God. That is true. But I think we focus so much on the not yet aspect, we completely forget about the already. God is at work in all around us right now, today, has been. And praise the Lord for that. Look for those moments. This fellowship that we're having right now, this warms my heart to be with fellow believers glorifying our Heavenly Father. We'll be doing this for the rest of eternity. Hallelujah, amen. This is a glimpse of the kingdom of God. You're a part of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of our beloved Son. So, we have been qualified by God. We have been delivered out of the domain of darkness by the beloved Son. And now finally, we have been redeemed and forgiven. Look with me at verse 14. And again, remember, we're giving thanks because in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. The Son, Christ, is who Paul is referring to. The greatest problem, friends, that all of us have in this world boils down to this. It's very simple. You were created to know God. But because of our sin, we are incapable of knowing God. And God, knowing all things, knows that we are completely hopeless at reconciling ourselves, doing it in our own will, in our own power, in our own strength. So by his infinite mercy and grace, our Lord bore flesh, took on flesh, bore the weight of our sin, our guilt, and he died on a cross so that we may be redeemed and forgiven. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is effectual for all of our sin. All who are in Christ have been forgiven. And this is good news. Friends, this is so different than what the world will tell you. Biblical forgiveness is wholly unique. The world says, earn your own way, take what's yours, get even, don't forgive, or forgiven, don't forget. But in the Bible, forgiveness and redemption look completely foreign to what we see all around us. A pastor that I know, he said this about forgiveness. He said, "Forgiveness is more than just canceling out a debt. Forgiveness is crossing the divide between two people and linking arms with them again." That is biblical forgiveness. When God looks at you, he sees his perfect and beloved Son. What a glorious and humbling reality this is. To be known by the Father through the Son and to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he has qualified you, and you share in the inheritance of the beloved Son, and you have been redeemed and forgiven. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we recognize that we have been forgiven, that our sins are not counted against us. And so we stand in awe of what you have done and what you continue to do. Christ, that you bore the weight of our sin and our shame, that it was nailed to a cross, and the death that we rightly deserve, you took on. So Lord, as we continue through this morning and into this next week, may we meditate on what it means to be a son or a daughter of the King. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we give praise and thanks to God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou
to thee. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all more with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Please be seated. We've had a great opportunity this morning to hear and sing and read both eternal truths and eternal promises. So let's take a moment now to contemplate how we ought to best respond to these things. Receive now this benediction. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Go in peace and be thankful.